come, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the living word. We ask that through the written word today, you would reveal yourself, the living word, to each life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I woke up and I'd been praying yesterday and last night, asking the Lord to speak something to me. And as often happens, it happens at the last minute. And he's never late, but for us humans, sometimes it feels that way. And the word that came to my spirit this morning, I woke up around 7, was the word overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And it was like the Lord was saying, that's the bad news, but there's good news. But starting just with the word overwhelmed, there's different definitions: swamped, devastated, crushed, stressed, flooded. There are all sorts of people in Scripture that had moments of feeling overwhelmed. Moses felt overwhelmed by the millions of Israelites that he was called to lead to the Promised Land. Job was overwhelmed by the affliction that came upon him. Abraham was overwhelmed how would the promise be made possible that he and Sarah were old in age. Elijah was overwhelmed after this wonderful time of facing the Baal worshipers, and there was this wonderful miracle that occurred, but then the enemies, the Baal worshipers, were after him to take his life. Prophets were overwhelmed. Jesus was overwhelmed in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest and crucifixion and resurrection. Paul was overwhelmed. The prophets were overwhelmed. The church was overwhelmed in the earliest days and throughout the ages, the times the church has been overwhelmed. That being overwhelmed is something that is seen in Scripture as being a reality that's going to happen. Today, we can feel overwhelmed by financial stress in our own life. We can being overwhelmed by the news as we look upon the world and the things happening in this country and happening throughout the world. There can be a sense of being overwhelmed. Marriage can be a place that I feel overwhelmed. Family mess can be a place that I feel overwhelmed. Conflicts with others, spiritual warfare. All of these things are things that can attribute and bring us to a place of saying, my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. A medical diagnosis, when you hear the words that aren't positive, you can feel overwhelmed. It's this feeling that there's something happening that is beyond my power, beyond my strength. How can I endure this, Lord? How can I stand in the midst of this feeling, this sense that I'm overwhelmed? Habakkuk this morning was a man who was overwhelmed. Habakkuk said, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. Now, most prophets in the Old Testament are speaking a word of the Lord to the people. Here, he as a prophet is speaking to the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, the people, the chosen people, he wasn't talking about the outside world and nations. He was talking about God's people. And as he looked upon the people of God, he saw violence. He saw sin. He saw idolatry. He saw the poor being oppressed, taken advantage of. He saw all of these things, people not walking according to the law, and the fact was that they weren't, because there was no correction that came with the law at that time from the Lord. And so it's like having a 45 mile per hour speed limit on the road, and you constantly go 60, and there's no one to enforce it, so 60 becomes the norm. That's how it was with the law at that time. Habakkuk sees all of these things, and he's overwhelmed. Totally overwhelmed. He becomes even more overwhelmed because as he cries out to God and says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" The Lord then responds. And the Lord says, "I'm going to do something that is really strange. You know those people, the Babylonians? Those ruthless people, those arrogant people, those people filled with pride, those people that are brutal, those people that sweep across the world taking control of countries, defeating and the torture, and they make them prisoners to come back to live in Babylon. The Lord says, I'm going to use what you feel is the most ungodly thing for your life." Then Habakkuk is basically saying, "I thought it was bad before, struggling with Judah. Now I have even a bigger struggle. Lord, you being holy and righteous, how can you take something that is dark and evil and somehow use it for your purposes?" And there's a moment that we didn't hear this morning, but we'll read today, that as he tried to work through this, he comes to a place. And he talks about waiting on the Lord. He says, "Lord, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give this complaint." The breakthrough for Habakkuk was, he was overwhelmed by life and what was happening all about him. It seemed so powerful, the darkness that was in Judah at that time. He was overwhelmed by the thought that God would use these people, the Babylonians, the unrighteous, the most unholy people, for his purposes. It didn't make sense. But he came to a place where he says, "I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give this complaint." This was the moment where he poured out his emotions, his heart, his fear, his confusion. He was real with God. He was honest with God. God could take it, you know. God can handle that. And so he just cries out to God. And God begins to speak, and he says, "But this doesn't make sense." But then he says, "Even though these things are coming against me and I don't understand what I'm going to do, Lord, my faith and trust is in you. And I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to wait to see the fulfillment of what you're about." There's another person that was greatly oppressed, and it's found in 2 Chronicles, and it's about Jehoshaphat. It said, "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Jehoshaphat is overwhelmed. He gets the message that there are these nations that are much more powerful, physically speaking, than Israel was, and that they're coming to destroy. They're coming to kill. And it said, he's alarmed. He was feeling overwhelmed. Have you ever felt alarmed with bad news? You feel overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. His life was at stake. The people of Israel, it was all on the line. And what he did was, he said, alarmed, I'm going to resolve to inquire of the Lord. I'm not going to hold a meeting with the leaders and say, you know, what should we do about this? He said, I'm going to inquire, what does God say and God speak into the circumstance, into the situation that I feel so overwhelmed by? The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek help, to seek him. Jehoshaphat then stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? He's overwhelmed. He's inquiring of the Lord. But he begins by proclaiming who he knows God to be. Are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear and save us. He's overwhelmed. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't say, oh, I'm a person not of faith. I should feel bad. No, he cries out to God. He's real with God. And then he wants to wait. He wants to ask God, what are you about? And what would you have me do? And then he begins by turning away from the enemy, fixing his eyes on the Lord. And he does that by acknowledging, remembering who God is. That he's bigger than these nations. Yes. He's bigger than this problem. Yes. He's a creator. He's God. There's no equal. And then he begins to recall testimonies of God's faithfulness over the years to Israel, how he delivered them, how he provided for them. He recalls the testimonies of God's work in the past of love and power for his people. He then acknowledges, we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us. He then talks about the enemies coming against them. And then it says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children, little ones, stood there before the Lord. They took a time out. As I am. They took a time out. They knew they're in trouble. They confessed it. They were scared, afraid. They decided they're going to seek the Lord. After seeking the Lord, they began to worship the Lord, who he is, the history of his faithfulness and power. And they waited. Then, with their eyes fixed totally on the Lord, It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Amen. They took time away from feeling overwhelmed and directing their energy and their eyes to the Lord. Looking at the Lord, they recalled and they recounted his faithfulness, how good he is. They recounted the history, the testimonies of his deliverance, of his power. Then all were still, waiting still for the Lord. At that moment, the Lord then spoke in to the situation. The Lord spoke into the situation. He said, this is a plan, guys. You're looking at me. You're worshiping me. Your eyes are set on me. You're silent before me. Now I'm going to begin to speak to you as I did Habakkuk. And he says, this is what's going on, and this is what you are to do. Do as I say. The battle is not yours, but I'm going to fight the battle. The scripture goes on. It talks about as they went out, they sang, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Never fired a shot. The key was moving from this place of being overwhelmed and being honest with God and saying, God, I'm overwhelmed. See, some people will say, if I say I'm overwhelmed, that shows a lack of faith. Actually, to say to God you're overwhelmed is an act of faith because you're talking to him. You're talking to him. And God doesn't punish people for being real with him and honest, because his love endures forever, as we heard earlier today. It's real. And so I can go before the Lord when I'm overwhelmed by family mess, when I'm overwhelmed by stuff in the world, when I'm overwhelmed by stuff in the country, when I'm overwhelmed by government, when I'm overwhelmed by getting a diagnosis, when I'm overwhelmed by finances, when I'm overwhelmed by family mess, when I'm overwhelmed just by life and I'm so tired I don't know how to take another step, I feel overwhelmed. The Lord says, you can come to me and be honest and say, Jesus, I am overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by family. I'm overwhelmed by this or that. I feel like I'm going under. I feel like I don't have enough strength to face this and go another day. But then to turn away from what I'm feeling overwhelmed by and say, Lord, I fix my eyes on you now. I fix my eyes on you. And I proclaim and I rehearse all of the things that are true of you found in Scripture. I remember, Lord, that you are the Creator, that you are the Lord of life. I remember, Lord, how nothing existed before you and how you spoke creation into being. I remember, Lord, your faithfulness to my people Israel and how you delivered them time and time again, how you corrected them, how you loved them, how you provided for them. I remember, Lord, the faithfulness of Jesus, how he had compassion on the poor and the needy and love them and love me and loved all of the people in such a way that he died on the cross for their sins and rose again. There's no power like yours, Lord. I proclaim it. And then I begin to remember God's faithfulness to me and testimonies. I remember, Lord, how you took my son who was dying from incurable kidney disease and had no future, and how you healed his kidneys and how he's well. I remember, Lord, how you've worked in my marriage and had my wife stay with me when I was a jerk. I remember, Lord, all of these things. And then I say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm not going to read the news. I'm not going to go on the internet. I'm not going to listen to my favorite podcast. What I'm going to do, Lord, is I'm going to come away and I'm going to wait on you. And see, Lord, what it is you want to say to me. What you want to say to me and speak to me at this time. Then I obey. And I walk in it. I walk in it. I am amazed of the distractions in the world today. Just, gosh, got to get away from it. There's just so many. There are so many people hurting. It's overwhelming in the world. Our hearts cry out. Like Habakkuk, it feels like it surrounds us. That is overwhelming when we think of it. And the Lord says, okay, look at me. Look at what I've done. Seek me and wait for me. It might take a while, but wait for me for the answer and then walk in it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to trust you as the most loving Father, the perfect loving Father, that we wouldn't be afraid to share our whole hearts with you. The good, the bad, ways that we feel overwhelmed at times by life. We feel overwhelmed sometimes. We've been in the midst of spiritual warfare and have been taking hits for some time and we're weary. Lord, we see things in the world and we say, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? We say, why do you make me look at injustice? It's overwhelming at times, God. But thank you that you are very much here, very much part of what's going on. Lord, we pray for those moments that whatever way we might feel overwhelmed this morning, that we can turn away from that for a moment and just, Lord, to bask and soak in the knowledge of who you are. Wonderful songs we're singing today, that you are the way maker, you are the miracle worker, that Lord, even when it seems like you're not working, you are working, that we see that Lord, you have us recount testimonies of your faithfulness to us in the past, your faithfulness to Israel, to the New Testament church, but to us, Lord, the many testimonies of times you've saved us, times you've healed us, times you've delivered us. And Lord, that we determine we're going to stand and look to you and see what you will say. For those of us who feel overwhelmed, we pray, Lord, for breakthrough today, that we would hear you speaking into our lives. Through the words preached, through the scriptures read, through the songs sung, or Lord, you just come to us on your own and speak a word into our life, because our situation is very much on your heart, as it was with Habakkuk, as it was with Israel being oppressed. Lord, forgive us for always looking to hear you through others and not just coming away to hear you, the Good Shepherd, speak into our lives. We know, Lord, that when you do, it sets us free. It sets us free and empowers us to walk in obedience to the things you would say to us, Lord. We thank you for this, God. We thank you for it. Lord, and it just came to me there about intercessors. Lord, I pray for those that you've called, especially to the ministry of intercession today, that times that they feel overwhelmed. They pray and pray your heart, Lord, and your mind, and sometimes don't see things happening. Sometimes it's the opposite. I pray that you'd encourage them this morning with a new spirit of worship and praise to look at you and to listen, Lord, as you would speak into intercessors' lives of ways that they're called to pray, ways that move mountains, Lord. We thank you for that. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.